A priest was visiting a family one night for dinner, and after dinner the priest asked some of the children a few religious questions. He pointed to the crucifix and asked the little child, "Who's that?" The four-year-old girl said, "That's Jesus." The priest said, "That's right. Now tell me something about Jesus." And she said, "Jesus died on the cross for our sins." Oh, the priest was so happy to know this child was so well informed about her faith at the age of four. Then he pointed to the statue of Mary and said, "Who's that?" The little girl said, "That's Mary." The priest said, "Well, tell me something about Mary." And the four-year-old girl said, "Mary had a little lamb. And his fleece was white as snow. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go." Well, the priest thought about that and he said, "You know, that is good theology. Because what does John the Baptist say in today's gospel? Behold, the Lamb of God." John was baptizing by the Jordan River, and really hundreds or thousands of people were carrying their lambs up to Jerusalem to have them sacrificed in the temple. And as all these lambs were going by, Jesus himself was there. And John pointed to Jesus and said, "There is God's Lamb. There is the Lamb of God." It's good theology. In fact, if you want to do a study of the in a concordance or an index of the Bible, look up Lamb of God, and you'll find that it's a common theme in almost every book of the Bible, beginning in Genesis, going all the way to the book of Revelation. You'll see this common theme of the Lamb of God. And when you study this, you'll see it goes way back to 2,000 years before Christ in the book of Genesis, where it says Abraham was taking his son Isaac up the hill to sacrifice him. And Isaac had said, "Father, where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" Well, those words echoed for 2,000 years down throughout the centuries until it was answered by John the Baptist in today's gospel. There is the Lamb of God. Jesus himself is the lamb that God himself provided. Isaac was a foreshadowing of Christ, representing Christ, because he carried the wood on his shoulders of his own sacrifice. It says that Isaac was 12 years old. Somebody once thought, well, maybe the reason why God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac when he was 12 is because if Isaac had been a teenager, it might not have been a sacrifice. So Isaac represents Christ, and he gets to the top, and of course God stops Abraham from harming his son, but God would send his own son to die for each one of us. God sent his own son into this world to be truly the Lamb of God. We notice in the book of Exodus, the Jewish people had to provide a Passover lamb in each family. And the Passover lamb had to be a one-year-old male, unblemished. It had to have no imperfections. It had to be a perfect lamb, which again foreshadows Jesus's perfection in being pure and holy and being the Lamb of God. And the Israelite people would take their lamb, and then it was, in a sense, tied up on a tree, very similar to Jesus hanging on the cross. It foreshadowed that none of the lamb's bones would be broken. The same with Christ on the cross. His bones were not broken. How did they kill the lamb? They would pierce its heart with a lance, and out would flow the blood. And once the blood was drained, then the lamb would be consumed in the holy Passover meal. And isn't that what happened to Jesus on the cross? His bones were not broken. He was the Lamb of God sacrificing himself for the sins of the world. His heart was pierced and outflowed the blood and water to wash away our sins. And then we receive Jesus in the Holy Mass. At the Last Supper, the apostles received Jesus. He took bread and took wine and said, "This is my body. This is the cup of my blood." So just as the chosen people consumed the Passover lamb to fortify them on the way to the promised land, so we, the new people of God, consume the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ at every Mass to strengthen our souls as we journey to the promised land of heaven. So whether it be the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah says that the Messiah would be like a lamb led to the slaughter who opened not his mouth. The symbol of a lamb perfectly represents Christ, his innocence, his meekness, his gentleness, his willingness to die for our salvation. When the Paschal lamb was sacrificed, it was done in the evening twilight. Jesus died in the darkness of Calvary. And then it says that the Israelite people had to take the blood of a lamb and then place it on their doorpost. And because the lamb died, their children would be saved. Their firstborn would be saved. Because the angel of death would then pass over. It's where you get the word Passover from. It refers to the passing over of the angel of death. And if it saw the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, the children inside the home were protected. And that was only effective because that blood would represent the blood of Christ. It foreshadowed the blood of Jesus Christ, which protects us, washes us from our sins, and redeems us and saves us. As the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So Jesus died for each one of us on the cross. He took your place and my place on the cross. He was that Passover lamb, the Paschal lamb, that died for you and for me, and his blood washes over us. In St. Paul's writings in Corinthians, he says that Christ is our Paschal lamb who has been sacrificed. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, 29 times refers to the Lamb of God. And it refers to the Lamb of God as Jesus, who conquered both sin and death and who is now victorious and glorified in heaven. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So Christ is that perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. And lastly, when we come to the Mass, you really can't understand the book of Revelation or the Mass without understanding the teachings on the Lamb of God. If you want to read perhaps the best book on this, read Scott Hahn's book called The Lamb's Supper. And in his book, The Lamb's Supper, Scott Hahn goes through, you know, from Genesis all the way through Revelation and shows how Christ is the fulfillment of the Old Testament Lamb, that he is the innocent one who died for you and for me. And in the book, it talks about how the Mass is the fulfillment of the book of Revelation, which refers to the supper of the Lamb. We know that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, and that the graces of his passion, death, and resurrection are distributed to us at the Mass. The Mass distributes the fruits of redemption, as the Catechism says. So when we come to Mass, we receive the graces that Jesus won for us by his passion, death, and resurrection on Calvary, and by his resurrection. When we go to Mass, we become present at the Last Supper and at Calvary. Christ does not die again at every Mass. Christ only died once, as the Bible says. The Mass makes that one sacrifice of Christ made present here and now. When we come to Mass, we are participating in the one supreme sacrifice of Christ that he gave for us on the cross. We become present at the Last Supper. We become present at Calvary. And the graces, the fruits of redemption, are distributed to us at the Mass. And notice at the Mass, we say, we just said a few moments ago in the Gloria, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Have mercy on us. So we refer to Jesus as the Lamb of God in the Gloria. And then in a few moments, after the consecration, we'll say that prayer. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, grant us peace. And then perhaps one of the most beautiful parts of the Mass is where the priest holds up the body of Christ and says the words we heard today in the Gospel. "Behold the Lamb of God." And the priest says, "Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb." So the Mass is the culmination of the entire Bible from Genesis through Revelation. It is the fulfillment of the book of Revelation, the Lamb's Supper, and we receive the Lamb of God in the Holy Mass. And just as those Israelite people consumed their lamb at the Passover meal, so we too are nourished by the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ every time we come to Mass. So yes, Mary did have a little lamb, and his fleece was white as snow. Jesus was so holy, so pure, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Notice what happens every time our Blessed Mother appears in her apparitions at Guadalupe. Within 15 years, there were over 10 million conversions to Christianity because of our Blessed Mother. Everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Our Lady brought the whole of Mexico to Christ by appearing to Juan Diego in the 1500s. And that nation was brought to Jesus because of our Blessed Mother. Think of Lourdes in southern France. Think of Fatima in Portugal. Wherever Mary appears, wherever Mary is, the Lamb is sure to go.